The last time you looked up a word in the dictionary, did the definition you found make sense to you? Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg says we should redefine our expectations of the dictionary.
I got a call from my friend Judith Wasso, who'd been going over a homework assignment with her ninth grade daughter, Molly. One of those deals where you have to look up a list of unfamiliar words in the dictionary and use them in a sentence. Molly was clearly having problems. For example, she looked up the word rhetorical, and part of the definition was showy, concerned with style and effect. So she put down the sentence, "The girl had a very rhetorical room." I told Judith that the fault was not with the dictionary that Molly was using. And it wasn't any reflection on Molly's mental capacities. I can personally vouch for the fact that there ain't no flies on Molly Wasso. The real villain in the story is the age-old idea that the best way to learn the meaning of a new word is to look it up in a dictionary the moment you run across it. Hence all those homework assignments involving dictionary skills, which begin in fifth or sixth grade and continue through high school. But a couple of recent studies by Princeton psychologist George Miller and Patricia Gildea suggest that this isn't really a very effective way of learning the meaning of a word. What a dictionary does, after all, is to take all the different uses of a word and pull them out of context, then supply them with a collection of paraphrases that are also taken out of context. And if you don't know the meaning of the word in the first place, this is usually not very helpful. There's an old story about a kid who writes in a composition, "My father came home from work with a cliché on his face." His teacher asks him what he means, and he says, "But I looked up cliché in the dictionary, and it said a worn-out expression." That story's probably apocryphal, but Miller and Gildea found that this kind of misunderstanding was very common. They would ask a kid to look up the word erode and use it in a sentence, and the kid would respond with something like, "Our family erodes a lot." This was puzzling until they realized that the dictionary definition for erode included the phrase eat out, eat away. Or they'd find a kid writing, "The cook stimulated the soup," since one of the synonyms given for stimulate is stir up. Overall, in fact, the dictionary plays a very overrated role in vocabulary learning. Even if kids were to look up a new word every single day, that would account for only about 5% of the vocabulary that the average high school student learns in a single year. We pick up most of our new words from reading and listening, glomming their meanings out of the context by a mysterious process that is what really intrigues psychologists about the whole business. Now, I have nothing against encouraging kids to use the dictionary to look up unfamiliar words, as long as it doesn't stop there. But if that were all that dictionaries were good for, there'd be no need for them to define all the familiar words that everybody already knows how to use. Until 200 years ago, in fact, dictionaries listed only what were called hard and unusual words. You could find a definition for fatuous, but none for foolish, stupid, or silly. You'd find tedious, but not dull or boring. But as any lexicographer will tell you, it's the simple words that are hardest to define and the most instructive to think about. That's why the Oxford English Dictionary gave a total of 23 pages to the definition of the single word set. It's a real page-turner for us word nerds, but who else would ever look it up? I guess what I'd really like is for Molly's teacher to give her an assignment that made her grapple with the problem of defining some simple words like silly and foolish, or even nerd and wimp, and then send her to a couple of dictionaries to see how they handled the job. Then she might come to see what most people never realize, that the dictionary is not just a useful reference book, but can sometimes even be a good read.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.